Okay.
Rishus Marai V'Rabbosai. Hey guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Okay, I was asked to come speak with you, and I just took advantage of the opportunity because I like spending time with you. I feel like we just haven't done enough of that this year. And I think it's special to take advantage of opportunities. Sometimes guys move on to Shana Bet or Shana Hey, and they feel that they've moved beyond their Shana Aleph Rebbeim, Mit Hashem, as you move on to the next stages of life. Shana Gimel, Shana Dalet, Shana Vav. So you have this feeling that you've moved beyond your Shana Bet Rebbeim, but it doesn't exactly work that way. It doesn't exactly work that way. There's a fundamental responsibility for us to maintain a deep connection with our Rebbeim, and especially the Rebbeim of these years, these very important years, where we were finding ourselves, figuring out who we are. These Rebbeim understand us as we transitioned from boys into men. And that's an important transitional stage, which we need to remember, we need to highlight, and we need to learn from. So that's one point that I just wanted to make. But so the discussion that I wanted to have with you today, and hopefully we'll open it up to conversation, to questions afterwards, is how does a person prepare himself today so that in 10 years down the road, he'll be the person that he wants to be? And this is a very important question. That is, how do we prepare ourselves for the next stages of life? How do we make sure, ensure, that we will be the person that we want to be? And just to highlight the question, to make the question into a strong question, people's values change over time. What you value today is not necessarily what you're going to value tomorrow. And what impacts our values, this is something that we need to know, what impacts our values are copious factors, different things that can change how we feel about what's important today and what will be important tomorrow. That makes it very hard to live life, because if I'm making decisions today about what's important to me that will affect me in 10 years, 15 years down the road, but I might feel differently in 15 years, that's very concerning. Because how can I decide today for tomorrow when I don't know what tomorrow will look like? And it can be a source of a lot of anxiety.
I'll just give a mashal. You're marrying a girl. Who says you're going to love her in 15 years? Just think about it. It's a crucial decision, the most important one you're going to take. And then, 15 years down the road, a lot of people wake up and like, where am I?
You get married in 15 years.
And then 15 years later... It only solves half the problem.
Get married again.
So some people go with that, Muhammad.
Yeah, some people do that.
That's Arinu Harav. Okay, so this can be a cause of tremendous anxiety. The word anxiety means fear. And what do we fear? We fear the unknown. If you ever thought about why a person's afraid of death, it's because we don't know what's after, what's on the other side. We don't know what the eschatological reality will be. So, I just wanted to use that word. So, we fear the unknown. Why are we afraid of the dark? Maybe you're not, but I am. Why am I afraid of the dark? Because I don't know what's really underneath the bed. It might actually be old shoes and dirty socks. But it might be other things that shall not be named. The point is that we fear the unknown. We don't know what's on the other side, and therefore we're afraid. So how do we make decisions today that will affect our tomorrow? So last night at Chug, one of the young men asked an extraordinary question. He said, what does Rav Shragi think are tips, the three important tips for success? And I was excited by the question because I had given it some thought because of what we were going to be talking about today. Three tips for success. And I'll tell you what I said last night, and then we'll discuss how it relates to how I can make sure to prepare myself for 10 years down the road. Number one, I'm going to go in reverse order of what I said last night. Number one, you have to have goals. You have to have goals. You have to have what's called a GPS. When you open up your GPS, what do you do when you open up your GPS? Do you just look at the map and hope for the best? What do you do?
Type in the destination.
You type in the destination, because if you don't type in the destination, then it's not going to help you very much. You'll be traveling, you'll see where you're traveling, but you don't know where you're going. Step number one is we need to have goals. We need to know what is the destination. Where am I headed? And how do we develop goals? What do we need to do to develop those goals? We need to figure out... What did you say?
Value.
We need to figure out what are our values. Because only when we know what our values are, what's really important to me, what does the word value mean? What do I value? I value things that are valuable. What are valuable things? Things that are weighty in worth. Things that are important. Things that are expensive. Things that cost. Things that are important. So we have to figure out what our values are, and based on our values, we have to determine, okay, where is my destination based on those values? It has to be a destination that is practical to me. My destination should not be, cannot be impractical. Cannot be, my destination cannot be, I want to be in the NBA. Even if that's a value of mine, why not? Because it's impractical. So I need to know what my values are, and I need to put that into my GPS in a practical way. Question?
You said before that people's values change over time, so like you can have a destination and a goal for later on, but if there's a value now, then they can change later on.
100%. Great.
Good luck with that.
Anything could change, so let's hold on to it for a second. Number two point regarding GPS is as follows. The reason why our lives are not based on, it's not exactly like the GPS is because at the end of the day, does anybody care how they got there? The only thing they want to know is that they're going to get there as quickly as possible. But what about when you're taking a road trip? And there's a fast way to go, but you're going to avoid all the good sights. Then what do? Do you care how you get there? Is it all about speed? No. It's about the path, the traveling itself. The end goal is not the full purpose. Is the process itself is valuable. Not only do I want to get to the end goal, but along the way, I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities to take a look. I had an opportunity this past summer, did not end up taking it, to go on a road trip to the Midwest with my brothers-in-law. They went to Yellowstone and to some other national parks. They went to the Rockies. They went to the Grand Canyon. And when we were discussing it, I helped them plan the whole trip. When they were discussing it, it was all about the trip. It wasn't about ending up in Phoenix, Arizona. It had nothing to do with Phoenix, Arizona. That happened to be the end goal. It was about everything on the way. But they also had to get there. So one of the things that becomes important is not only do we need to have an end goal in sight, but we need to know that the whole process is valuable. Every part of that process is valuable. So where we're going to be in 10 years is a great question. But I care about, for all of you and for myself, that every day along that journey should have meaning and value. Will my values change? They will adjust. But if my values are strong early on, and my daily activities, because values and goals are not just about the long-term goals, it's also about the short-term goals that are getting me there. If along the way I'm appreciating, engaging every day as a valuable part of my journey, then whether or not my values will change, every day is meaningful. Every day is purposeful. Question?
So, that's how you said that there's no way to be certain that your values aren't going to change or that you're not going to change too much.
fact that you're living purposeful, you're living up to those values is the point.
We'll get to how to maintain your values in a few minutes. There's no guarantees in life. I want that to be very clear. There are no guarantees in life. Every time I guarantee something, I'm proven again and again that Hashem has a different plan. There are no guarantees in life. But all we have is today. The only thing that I can work on is right now. And I can make today important for tomorrow. But I can't work on tomorrow without today. And that means when I'm deciding whether to go to Seder, or I'm deciding whether or not to make a new chavrusa, I have to appreciate that I'll get to tomorrow with today. Okay. So that's number one. We have to have our values and our goals. Number two, tips for success. Right? We're trying to figure out what are the tips for success. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but what was number two?
No, choice. No.
We'll get there in a second. Wait. Yeah, that's it. Number two, the most important tip for success, I can't say the most important, an important tip for success is based on the Maui longitudinal study. Anybody been to Maui?
The place?
What, in Hawaii?
Yeah, I've been.
Serious?
Yeah.
Of course.
The only place outside of Israel?
Maui is filled with a lot of very interesting things, especially derelicts and drunks. You don't tend to see that. But it happens to be that there are a lot of risk factors. If you grew up in Hawaii, very challenging to succeed. Very challenging. A lot of risk factors. But they decided to do the following mechkar, the following research. They wanted to see if a person had two or more risk factors, things in their life that were likely to hold them back from success. What was the feature, what was the factor that was most likely to take them out of failure? That was most likely to help them succeed no matter what? Didn't matter where they grew up in the projects, what kind of home, was there addiction, was there abuse? What was the feature that would allow them to succeed? And the answer was grit. Perseverance. The ability to fall and to get back up again. To be challenged, to fail, but to not stop. When I read this, I was blown away. I thought it would be intelligence. I thought it would be tenacity, but this kind of ambition. But it wasn't. It was about perseverance. Failing, learning, doing it again. And it reminded me of a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says in Gittin and Daf Mem Gimel. A person only succeeds in Torah. I'm just translating Rav Shai. A person only succeeds in Torah. Only succeeds in Torah. That's what the Gemara says. You only succeed in Torah learning if you fail. You've only succeeded in Torah learning if you tried, it didn't work, and you tried again. And I'm looking around in this room and I see people who have tried, failed, gotten back up, and done it again. It's the only way you're here today. If you didn't give up, but you tried and tried again. That's number two, tip for success.
What was the name of the
Maui longitudinal study? That was tip number two. I would assume that that's a feature of grit, of perseverance. Meaning, why would a person get up and do it again if he didn't believe that this next time might work? So it's certainly an important feature of that. Last but not least, the third feature that I presented. Again, this is not a complete list of the tools for success, but things that I believe are relevant for our discussion. Last but not least is get rid of choice. Get rid of choice. Everybody is so into freedom of choice, freedom of speech, freedom of will, freedom, 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 freedom. everybody wants to be free to do whatever they want. That is the recipe for disaster in life. If I have to choose every day, all day, what my day is going to look like, my day is going to be a tragedy of choice. If I'm choosing whether or not to wake up in the morning, I have three alarm clocks because I don't know which one will actually work, and I ask three different people to wake me up, and I've given myself that choice to decide which one will work today, then I've already failed. We have to get rid of choice. Does that mean that we don't choose anything? No, it means we do. But we choose ahead of time to remove choice. That's the value, the importance of getting a chavrusa instead of learning by ourselves. If my chavrusa is going to be there, am I going to miss? Are you going to be that person who has somebody waiting for you and you don't show up? Could you imagine being that person? Not letting your chavrusa know that you're not going to be there? So somebody's sitting there waiting for you? I mean, you would never do that, I'm sure. By having a chavrusa, you basically remove choice. By setting up a schedule, I have a chavrusa in the mornings. We run together. We jog. 6 o'clock in the morning. Why not, will you ask? Why do I need a chavrusa? Why not just jog on your own? Because it's about commitment. It's about removing choice. It's about not limiting myself to how I feel on any given day. Because if I limit myself to how I feel, what mood I'm in, then I have already lost. And Rav Dessler, after Kuntras HaBechira, at the very end, Rav Dessler writes, he quotes Rabbi Yerucham and he says, all of this that I've discussed is not the ideal. This idea of choosing and knowing where your choice begins, that's not ideal. The ideal is to not be able to choose, to remove choice from the equation. Because if it comes down to how I feel and what I want to choose on any particular day, then I've already lost. And if I want to know what a tool for success is, the tool for success, I believe, is don't let yourself choose, and certainly not on a daily basis. Because when I'm choosing every day what I'm in the mood for, then slowly but surely, especially in the next stages of life, I'm not feeling it as much. I'm not surrounded in yeshiva by Das Torah. I'm not surrounded in yeshiva by opportunities to be inspired and invigorated. And my daily choices will lead me down that path that I won't even know who I am or what I care about 10 years down the road. Is there meant to be a meeting in here?
No, but keep going.
Okay. Question?
Are you talking about like choosing for little things too? Like what flavor ice cream I want? Like I should get rid of that choice?
I think what I'm relating to is choices that have detrimental consequences. So eating healthy, for example, what type of ice cream, maybe not the discussion, but whether or not I should be conscientious of my eating, should I care what I'm eating, do I have a goal of losing weight, of being in shape, those are bigger choices that I need to create opportunities or environments, and I need to be in environments that limit my choice. Now let's get a little more practical. 1 second before I take questions. How does this practically speak itself? How does it lend itself? So one area where it lends itself, which is really important, practical. How do I remove choice and how is this relevant for our discussion? How do I remove choice and how is it relevant for our discussion? Here are a few important examples. Where I go to college will define so many of my choices without even having made any individual choice. If I go to a secular college, I will have daily choices of which bathroom I'm supposed to be in. I'll have daily challenges. But if I go to an environment which invigorates, inspires, controls, or limits certain choices, then I've already won. My choice is already in a better place without even having made a single choice individually. And that's why we have big choices and small choices. One of the beauties of making a good choice, like coming to Netziv Aryeh for a Shana Bet or a Shana Gimel and beyond, and after Pesach, continuing in this process after Pesach, is that it will have created the environment, the situation, the circumstance, the rubric for my success. And that's what I need in my life. And it gets harder and harder as a person gets older because they have lived in accordance with their own desires for so long. It becomes hard for us to limit those desires. So you want to know how to prepare ourselves in 1 second, 30 seconds, how to prepare ourselves for 10 years down the road? We need to come to certain very important conclusions today, but not based on our own thoughts. One of the questions I was asked before, but what if I do change my mind? Don't limit your decision of goals and values to your own thinking. Consult. Consult with people who are older than you, people who you respect, and people whose lifestyles you want to emulate. Consult with them. Because you cannot trust yourself at 18, 19, 20, or 24. You cannot. Can't limit yourself to that trust. But trust yourself enough to know that what I value today will probably be valuable 10 years down the road. And based on that, I'm going to make decisions which will inspire continued growth and opportunity as opposed to limiting myself to daily hitdardirut, which means going down. Rabosai, maybe we can continue this conversation a different time.
I think we're going to have to continue. So we're working out. Yeah. Guys, we have to have the discussion part of this conversation at different times. We're going to find it.
Maybe early next week.
No, early. We have to. We will be. Fabulous. Thank you.